All right, welcome back into Morning Drive. Hour 2 is off and running here on this Friday. We are live this morning inside of Kitchen Notes, the Omni Nashville Hotel. Nick Braden, D-Mace, the Constable. Butch Spearden coming up at the bottom of the hour as we continue on. Taking your calls, 615-737-1025. A lot of Preds calls in the first half hour of the show. Also looking at the Titans schedule and evaluating the audience as to whether or not they like the Derek Mason call.
Right now, we're dead even.
You never know what's going to the lead of a show is going to turn into.
Exactly. Right now,
Derek Mason's warble. Do we like it or not?
We're dead even, so that's good for me.
Do Nick and Chase and I get a vote?
Nope. We don't get a vote on the show. We're not a part of it.
Well, we're allowed to weigh in.
No, we are a part of the polling. We can't then
You mean we can't put our thumb on the scales of justice?
Exactly. Okay. We can't do that.
Probably shouldn't do that.
That's not how it works.
Okay. Because you would vote for it, and I would vote against it. So there we go. We cancel each other out.
But Nick would have to vote
Nick
for
it
because
Chase.
It's because of him. He
went all Gladiator.
No, see.
Was it Joaquin Phoenix that was the Julius Caesar in Gladiator?
Yeah, it was.
And he went all thumbs down on Russell Crowe, and the crowd booed him?
That is correct.
See, look at me.
We're booing you.
I've got obscure movie references too, Nick.
We're booing you.
I like that reference.
So Nick goes thumbs down, Chase.
It's a good flick.
I like it.
There you go.
Thank you, Chase.
We're even at 3 apiece then.
Yes.
3-3.
That's my man.
Chase only likes it because he used to produce for Derek in the midday, and they've got this rapport.
He's got six Derek Mason jerseys hanging in his man cave autograph.
He gave his opinion.
That's not right. I have 7.
I was going to say, you needed both a home and road Michigan State jersey because you've got the Jets and the Texans and the Ravens and the Titans all hanging up as well.
No, I don't have Ravens or Titans. I just have Jets and Texans and Mumford High.
There we go.
You're like a hipster jersey collector.
Exactly.
You're like an indie rock. Like I don't collect when I only collect Kansas City Joe Montana jerseys. I don't like it when he was with the Niners.
I have a number 82 Tennessee Oilers Derek Mason jersey.
That was dope.
That's good.
All right, so schedule first quarter of the season 2-2. Win at Cleveland, lose to the Colts. Win at Jacksonville, lose at Atlanta. Week 5, the Buffalo Bills. Win, and I'm just going to leave it at one word: payback.
Wow, this is a tough one for me because that 4-game stretch, it might wear on them a little bit. Buffalo comes in. I think Buffalo's going to be a much better and improved team. It's going to be tough. I'm picking Buffalo.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with Buffalo as well. I mean, I'm going with Tennessee. I think there's revenge there, but I think it's at home, and I think they're in a better situation and in a better spot. So I will take the Tennessee Titans to get that win. I just don't think the talent is there for Buffalo. I think there's very different levels of talent.
Okay, so 3-2, they go to Denver to take on the Broncos, a 3:25 start against your boy Derek Mason, Joe Flacco, the thick air. I think this is a tough spot. I go loss to the Denver Broncos on the road.
I'm picking the same. Joe played really well in their last meeting here. The defense, obviously, we saw what Baltimore's defense did to Tennessee. I think Denver's defense with Von Miller can do the exact same thing. I'm picking Joe Flacco in the Denver Broncos.
This game right here is, to me, the microcosm of the entire road schedule for the Tennessee Titans. This is a game much like the Falcons, much like the Browns. There's a handful of other games later in the season. Oakland on the road, at Carolina, at Houston. Those are all games that if you are going to be a good playoff team, you should go handle your business against. You had a better record than most of those teams last year. You were the better team than most of those teams last year, with the exception of maybe Houston. You should be able to go on the road and handle those types of teams. And Denver is one of those teams that if you want to consider yourself a division contender and a playoff team, you go on the road and you beat. Because look at this road schedule. Again, all the names I just rattled off.
Mm-hmm.
Not one of those teams made the playoffs outside of Houston, Cleveland, Jacksonville, Atlanta, Denver, Carolina, Oakland. Those are 6 of the 8 road games outside of the division. Those are games you have to go take care of business in. So I will optimistically take the Titans to go on the road and win that game. Low scoring, I think they that type of game plays into the Titans' favor, because I think the Titans want to play a game like that where it's low scoring with not a lot of offense. I think I think the Titans set up well in that one.
All right, week 7 against the Chargers. We know this team has played really well against good teams last year. They beat the Eagles. They beat the Patriots. Rematch of the London game, one-point game, coaching decisions late were in question. I'm going to say win at home here in Nashville against the Chargers. They beat Phillip Rivers.
Again, it's something about the San Diego Chargers and the Tennessee Titans, well, L.A. Chargers now and the Tennessee Titans.
The StubHub Chargers.
Yeah, the Titans, just they haven't been able to overcome, you know, for some strange reason, the Chargers. And I think it's going to be the same this year, this upcoming season. I don't think they're going to be able to get over that hurdle of beating the Chargers. They had them beat last year and didn't get the two-point conversion. So I think the Chargers and Phillip Rivers do it again in a close game.
I could see a win in this game, and this is also a microcosm of the season for the Titans. They're going to get a lot of good teams at home, and they have to, again, they have to try to play up to the competition to teams at home like they did last year when it came to Indianapolis at home, even with Blaine Gabbert, played up to that competition, beat Houston at home with Blaine Gabbert, played up to Philly, played up to New England. They played well against good teams at home, and this schedule is really very similar. You've got to play well against teams that are very good. You look at Indianapolis, the Chargers, Kansas City, Houston, and New Orleans all coming to town. You've got opportunities to beat really good teams at home. I think they can win this game. I would lean towards a loss on the schedule, but you know, the Chargers are one of those teams you just don't know. You think they're pretty good, but they find ways to lose games. So I wouldn't be surprised if the Titans win that game at all.
Okay, they wrap up the first half of the season with a two-game winning streak. They're going to beat the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at home. The Buccaneers stink. This is the Adam Humphries game against his old squad. I will take the Titans to win this game against the Bucs, get to 5-3 on the year.
I think this is going to be a critical game for the Titans, and it might just be the same for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Obviously, there's going to be hype around this game because you have the number one pick in the draft, Winston, the number two pick in the draft, and Mariota playing against each other. Again, we know what happened in the first meeting. The Titans basically took him in the back of the shed and gave him a couple of gut punches. I think the Titans win this game. I think Humphries will be big in this game. I think you have a touchdown or two, six, seven catches, and make Tampa pay for not re-signing him.
Okay. Let's quickly go through the second.
W.
You're in. The last eight games, I'll just go through them real quickly. You stop me, tell me anything that stands out just for the sake of time so we don't have to do another segment on this. Panthers, loss.
Win.
Okay. Chiefs, loss.
Yep.
Jaguars, win.
Yep.
Colts, loss.
Oof.
That's in Indy.
In Indy.
Oh,
I'll go with a loss.
Loss, yeah.
All right, two wins in a row at the Raiders and home for the Texans.
Yep, I say two wins. I say they win both of those.
I agree as well. Win-win.
Okay, and they wrap it up with a two-game losing streak. They lose to the Saints, and then they lose at Houston to finish 8-8.
I think they beat the Saints, and they beat Houston.
Lose to the Saints, beat Houston as well. I think that final weekend game could be for a playoff spot again.
Oh my God!
I think I got him at 9-6, 9-7 again.
Okay.
Damn, that'd be 4 years in a row, 9-7. Maybe 10-6.
If they go 9-7 for four straight years, like, to quote Chris Mason, is it beyond analysis?
Well, I think there's a chance that they're at 10-5 in that last game. And that they're playing for the 11th win and for the division championship.
That would be phenomenal.
I'm not saying that they're necessarily playing for a wild card. I think there's a chance. Now, much of that hinges on week two, actually, what they do against the Colts at home. If they can get a split with the Colts in some way, then you could easily see that final game against Houston deciding not only a playoff spot but the division championship. I would not be surprised at that at all. But that's because I'm of the belief that I believe this team is – especially if they do what I want them to do in the draft, which is go get defensive line and front seven help. If they bolster that, they've bolstered everything else. They've improved the interior of the offensive line. They've improved the pass catching. You got Delaney and Smith coming back at tight end. Marcus, maybe you're assuming Marcus is fully healthy. Derrick Henry for a full season running the football. There's a lot to like about this team. And the one thing that we never talk about ever with this football team, and we talk about it ad nauseum with every single college football team, the head coach we now believe in. And that is the biggest difference between last year and this year with the Titans. I believe in Mike Vrabel. I'm all in on Mike Vrabel. I think Mike Vrabel will have this team better than 9-7 this year.
One national figure is in agreement with you, Braden Gall. You'll hear from him next and find out who it is. Much love for the Tennessee Titans. I'm kind of surprised. You'll hear it next here on Morning Drive. That's right. We're having a good day. All your homies are here. Nick Braden, D-Mace, the Constable.
The Warbler. Nick Braden and the Warbler. You're like the Vanderbilt Whistler a little bit, except for the Morning Drive version. Do you know what the Vanderbilt Whistler is?
I can't say that I do.
I think Chase knows. Nick probably does not know.
I have no idea.
Because Nick probably doesn't watch a lot of college baseball. There is a man that goes to Vanderbilt baseball games.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, I heard about him.
That is so obnoxious that you can hear it in Omaha on the television broadcast. I've sat next to him for a decade now at Vanderbilt games.
Well, you took me to one of
the
Super Regionals.
He is obnoxious.
He was there, right, at the Super Regional?
Yes. We have one now, and he's a former All-Pro receiver. He's just our version of the Whistler, the Warbler.
I love it.
I don't even know what noise
Chase
the Warbler makes. We're 3-3.
Jeff from White House likes it.
We're 3-3.
We ain't talking about the people that don't like it. We're not even talking about those people.
You get a couple of Grand Marniers in you, you become the Wobbler.
You're right about that.
You know,
I'm cool with mine, though, man.
Warbly drop. Never mind.
Yeah, I'm cool with mine. I had two Grand Marniers. I'm chill.
Yeah. Derek's just so cool, everybody. He's so much cooler than all of us.
All right, so you guys are both in the camp of possibly a 10-win season for the Titans this year after looking at the schedule. Now, one man, Colin Cowherd, host of The Herd on Fox Sports 1 and Fox Sports Radio, was yesterday looking at the Cleveland Browns and all the hype surrounding that team with Baker Mayfield and Odell Beckham and all their talented players, and he said, don't just gloss over the Tennessee Titans in week one. Take a listen. Here's Colin Cowherd.
So let's just concentrate on one game in your schedule, Tennessee. Everybody in Ohio this morning grabbed a little pocket schedule like Joy talked about yesterday. W on Tennessee. Okay, W. Okay, Rams, Seattle, New England, W on Tennessee. Well, let's just examine Tennessee. They finished with a better record than you did last year. Unlike the Browns, who beat one playoff team, 1-5 against playoff teams, only win against Baltimore, Joe Flacco, who was later benched. Oh, Tennessee throttled Dallas, humiliated New England, clobbered Philadelphia. Well, but we added a lot of new pieces. Oh, so did Tennessee. Adam Humphries was the most expensive slot receiver. Cameron Wake's old, but he'll be a pass rusher. And they upgraded their offensive line, taking a Ram who is now a Tennessee Titan. And oh, by the way, they do not have a rookie coach. They have maybe the smartest and most successful of Bills coordinators, Mike Vrabel, the former player. My sources tell me Mike Vrabel, of all the New England Belichick guys, of all of them, Vrabel's going to work. Now, he was never a top assistant for Belichick. He was a player for him. But my guys in the NFL, my scouts, my guys say Tennessee's well coached. They were a Blaine Gabbert start from making the playoffs last year. And they have a history of going into places and stunning people. They're a very physical football team. Cleveland, you're not in a position to just discard teams as W's.
All right, there you go.
You put me in a really, really awkward situation to where I have to really, truly go all in on supporting Colin Cowherd.
Because you agree with his sentiment,
really
but you hate the talking
I agree
heads.
Everything he said. I agree with everything he said, and I really hate myself for it. In fact, I'm going to go home and shower just because I agree with everything that Colin Cowherd said. Again, the thing that we don't, and it's our fault, it's my fault, it's everybody's fault, the thing we do not talk about with this team, because everyone and their mother is so focused on Marcus Mariota and the pass rush and receiving core, and all those things are reasonable things to be focused on. We should be looking at those things. The one thing we never talk about is that if you truly believe in Mike Vrabel in the coach, I am in that camp where I believe in Mike Vrabel. I think he's the guy.
Yeah.
I think he's the right guy for the job. It was a risky, but I think the right move to get rid of Mularkey and go to Vrabel. But we don't talk about it because what do we look at with college football teams? Every single year, great coach, benefit of the doubt. Great coach, benefit of the doubt. College basketball teams, great coach, benefit of the doubt. Now, the NFL's different. I acknowledge that. But when you look at Belichick, and I'm not – don't get crazy, folks. I'm not putting Vrabel with the Belichicks of the world. But when we look at great coaches, we just sort of give them benefit of the doubt. The Titans may have a really good football coach. And doesn't that alone give you a win or two on the schedule? Doesn't that mean that you can beat Buffalo at home or go on the road and beat Denver or handle your business against Oakland? To me, Mike Vrabel is the most undercovered part of the Tennessee Titans, and he might be the most important part of the Tennessee Titans.
To win 9 games last year with all he had to endure with the injuries.
With zero experience.
Marcus going down, Delanie Walker going down. Mm-hmm. We can go through the list. I mean, the Tennessee Titans were ravaged like the Predators were throughout this regular season. I don't know how you could do more than 9-7 in year one, well, considering those circumstances.
Well, I mean, injuries are a part of football. It's a contact sport. And what you try to do is you try to have the depth that if a guy gets hurt, you can plug another guy in. Will he play like your starter? Probably not. But in some cases, you know, you have a backup that comes in and play really well. Kelly came in for Conklin. And Kelly, you know, everyone that has watched Kelly and that has commented on it said he was probably an upgrade to Jack Conklin, considering, you know, Jack was hurt and everything else, and it worked out well for the Tennessee Titans. Here's the thing. The Cleveland Browns, yes, they did upgrade on offense with one guy. Well, two guys. But the other guy, the running back, can't play until in the middle of the season.
Well, and they traded one of their better offensive linemen.
Yeah, they traded one of their better offensive linemen.
Defensive
line. And this is a team that was ranked 30th in the NFL in total defense. 30th in the NFL in total defense. I don't see, I mean, with Myles Garrett at defensive end and those guys on the defensive line, this team still ranked 30th in the NFL. You can't then add one piece on offense or two pieces on offense and expect, you know, all of a sudden this team to become a playoff-bound team, a team that can potentially win the Super Bowl. The Browns have problems on defense. Maybe they fix them, maybe they don't. But as we sit now, the defense is horrible. The offense is good, but people have a offseason to prepare for Baker Mayfield. And I guarantee you, he's going to be good. Baker's going to be good. But that running around and just throwing it up stuff, a lot of that's not going to work this year.
You know what helps that, though?
Yeah.
A guy named Odell.
Yeah, you're absolutely
Odell
right.
Helps that a little bit.
But people are going to now prepare for things like that.
Well, they're in the honeymoon phase now.
And yes. this team is not going – I'm telling you, this. As much as I want the Browns to be good, because I think it's good for the NFL, if they are a playoff team.
He'll blow up on the sideline.
Yeah. This team is not going to be the team that everybody thinks they are.
I tend to agree with
and
you.
And I think Tennessee will be a 10-win, maybe even 11-win team.
I'm kind of with you, Derek, on that. And I think Cleveland – I can't tell if week one is a good week, because I think week one might be a mirage and Cleveland might be really good in week one. And that might be bad for the Tennessee Titans. But I think there's going to be a growing pain period of time for the Cleveland Browns. I just don't know if it starts week one or if it's more of like the energy and like the intensity and like the passion of the – you know, they're at home – they've got their new coach. They got all the new stuff. They got their new toy. You know, I think that first day atmosphere is going to be such a big moment for the city of Cleveland that maybe that's a rough spot for Tennessee to go get a W. But I think, to your point, I think weeks 2 through 6 for Cleveland is clearly, the honeymoon phase is over, and you know now the coach has to come through with a game plan that to out scheme other defensive coordinators. You know, listen, Baker's great theater. There's no doubt that Baker and those guys are going to be great theater. But does it result in win after win after win after win? I'm with you, Derek. I think they're more of an 8-8, 9-7 team. And that the AFC is really compacted. I mean, Pittsburgh could be the best team in that division and go 9-7. The whole thing is really compacted right now in the AFC. Other than, we think Kansas City is going to be great. Mm-hmm. They should be good on offense again, obviously. New England, we think they're going to be great again, but is there ever a moment where they come back down to earth? Who knows?
But look at the personnel losses. Gronk retires for New England. Kansas City's dealing with the Tyreek Hill issue. Andy Reid could lose Kareem Hunt and Tyreek Hill in back-to-back years. He's down to what? Kelsey and the quarterback, Patrick Mahomes.
And again, so I just think the AFC is really compacted. And you can make the case for the Colts, the Texans, the Titans. You know, there's a lot of teams you could look at and say 10 wins.
Yeah.
And there's a lot, and some of those teams will get there and some of those teams won't. I think – and again, this is what goes back to I trust what this particular organization, the Titans, have, which is Dean Pease, Mike Vrabel, and a defense. If you give me those three things, I feel pretty good about that side of the football and those three things showing up every single Sunday. Now, what does the offense look like under Arthur Smith and – How healthy are the receivers and the offensive line? Marcus, I mean, those are all fair questions. But you give me a great number two or three rated defense in the NFL with a good head coach and a great defensive coordinator, I'm going to bat with that every single Sunday and feeling pretty good about it.
Coming up in 20 minutes, this has to be a Jofa game, correct? Game 5 tomorrow? It's got to be a Jofa game, right? But up next, Butch Spearden, president and CEO of the Nashville Convention and Visitors Bureau. We're going to talk to him about all the stuff with the NFL draft in the city, how crazy it's going to be next week. Butch will join us when we come back here on Morning Drive on ESPN 102.5 The Game. 7:29 as we welcome you back into a Friday edition of Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Broadcasting live from Kitchen Notes inside of the Omni Nashville Hotel. Busy week coming up next week, as you well know, and here to talk about all things in the city for the NFL draft next week, Butch Spearden, president and CEO of the Nashville Convention and Visitors Bureau. Butch, I got to imagine next week might be one of the busiest weeks of your professional career.
I would agree, and I'd say I've already had three or four of those in the last couple months. So, pretty crazy.
So, Butch, just kind of give everybody, like, what are the things that you want the Nashvillians out there that are going to either come down and be a part of this a celebration for whatever reason, because there's a lot of reasons to be downtown next week. Just sort of give tell people what they need to, like, what are the most important things you want to reinforce with Nashvillians who are coming down to the draft next weekend?
Good tee up for me. First, it's free. I don't think Nashville really understands the level of quality and value that comes with a world-class event that's completely free on every level. So I would emphasize that. I would try to clarify that as the numbers have been thrown around about attendance, we certainly think we can top any previous attendance records, but the 300,000 number is not in one day. It almost, as I listen to some of the media, I go, why would you want to go down to among 300,000 people? But we're 100,000 a day on both sides of the river. We've done that July 4th, New Year's Eve. We've gone over 200,000 a couple times. So we have capacity. We have the security. We have the footprint. So it's not that fearful number, and if it does grow to epic proportions, Metro Police is prepared to expand the footprint on Broadway. And then the third thing is, think of it as a festival. It's got music, it's got interactive activities, it's got celebrity sightings, you name it, there's something for everyone. Food, cold beer, I should say, cold beverage. A little bit of everything. So enjoy it. And then last would be plan ahead, take your time, be patient, and show the world why we're this great music town.
Now, Butch, you've been here for a very long time.
Is that a nice way of saying I'm old?
Nah, because I'm getting there too. I remember, you know, getting to know you when I first got here. Back in 97.
I'm still a fan of yours.
Well, thank you, Butch. I appreciate it. And knowing, you know, all that you had your hand in, whether it be, you know, when we got here or, you know, the draft, the NHL draft or NHL All-Star Weekend, and now the NFL draft, what went into you guys finally getting the approval, finally getting a stamp and saying, okay, the draft is here? What was the process that you guys had to go through?
A lot of persistence. So I'd say literally 8 years, we would knock on the NFL's doors. Two of those times, you know, the NFL decided not to do anything. Then they looked at Chicago, and we said, we want to bid, and they kind of laughed at me. Said, well, we're only talking to L.A. and Chicago, and we still submitted our name. Then when they finally said, okay, we're going to start moving formally, 17 cities jumped in the hunt. They narrowed it to 5. I can remember I had to cut 2 business trips short to fly back to New York to pitch Nashville. And then they kept shortening the list and kind of look around and we're still standing. I got to say, we were chasing 2020, and then all of a sudden it was like, we think they like us for 2019. We got to get our act together. Because our 19 bid wasn't that good just because of availability of venue. But then we went to work on it. Oh, they were going to award 2, and they only awarded 1. So I think that says a lot about our city, our experience, and our ability to collaborate across venues and public works and police and mayor's office. The league noticed it. And maybe the last thing I would say, sorry for the long answer, all those things you named played into it. Every time we did it a little better, every time we enhanced our experience, the NFL took notice of it, absolutely.
Butch Spiridon is joining us here on Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game, live from Kitchen Notes here on this Friday. Butch, has there been any calculations and educated guesses and guesstimates as to the financial impact that this event will have on the city of Nashville and its businesses?
We've done a little bit of that. We tend to use what Dallas released after as the kind of the bullseye, and that was in the $75 million in direct spending and $125 million in economic impact. So that's been the bullseye. We think we top that just because we're much more of a destination draft this year. Dallas, it was in a stadium in Arlington, so not as convenient, not as an attractive entertainment ambiance or surroundings. They were in a parking lot and in a stadium. Did a great job. Dallas and Arlington did a great job. It was just different. Now we're dropping. I know some people are going, what the what? But we're dropping it right down in one of the hottest entertainment districts in the country. And that's just going to make it more fun, or more unique, and better for Nashville.
Butch, first of all, I'm ecstatic to see good friends of the show, Moon Taxi, opening up for you guys down there. Put a little rock and roll flavor into this country thing we've got going on here. I think that was a really cool move. So really excited for the guys, Trevor and Tommy and Wes and all those guys over at Moon Taxi.
I love them. I would tell you I went to bat for them.
Well, I love that we're showing a different side as well. But what I wanted to ask you is just, we've seen the NHL All-Star Game, and you kind of know what's coming here. The NHL All-Star Game, we've seen that be a huge success. We've seen obviously the exterior performance of the Nashville Predators outside of Bridgestone Arena. We've seen that. We know MLS is coming. Certainly, the stadium delay is an issue, but it is what it is. It's a part of the deal. What is next? Now that you have a draft coming, which is the largest sporting event in the history of Nashville, potentially, what are the next things? How can you top what you guys are already doing currently with the NFL draft, and it hasn't even happened yet?
Get asked that question a lot. We've never been scared of what's next. I think we are at a point with the city that we maybe broaden the lands and the input, but for me, World Cup, why we're a finalist city, they're going to pick 11 or 12 out of 17. There's no reason we can't be standing to host a World Cup game or two. We will have that answer in a year or so, and we got to decide, do we want to do that sort of thing? It's the event outside the game is almost bigger than the game in terms of World Cup City. So that's kind of what I'm looking at. And then maybe I would throw the Grammys in there, something I have yet to book, but it's on my bucket list of things Nashville should host.
Grammy sounds like a ton of fun. Obviously, we would love the World Cup. What has to happen at the stadium for that to take place? Do there need to be adjustments or things to Nissan Stadium for that to take place? And how does that tie in with any future considerations for Titan Stadium as it pertains to college football playoff and or Super Bowl opportunities?
Those are great questions. I think the conversation on the stadium itself has to start taking place in the next 12 to 24 months. Don't need to start doing anything, but we need to have a plan in the next couple of years. To me, that dictates what we do on a grander scale. You know, do we want an indoor stadium? Do we just want the coolest outdoor stadium? You know, certainly what do the Titans want? That's a huge, you know, probably 75% of the answer. As far as the World Cup, you know, they have the right to say, if we come, we need you to do this or this. We don't have to say yes. You know, we can walk away. But we don't know the answer to it, so we got to wait to see if they get a little closer. We've invited some U.S. soccer reps to come in next week. I think one is coming. I'm not sure. But then also the Gold Cup match this summer. I see the draft, Gold Cup combined with July 4th as our showcases to FIFA, U.S. soccer, and the rest of the soccer community about our abilities and worthiness.
Butch, great insight. We really appreciate the time. Thank you very much, and best of luck next week.
Thank y'all. I expect to see you on Lower Broad.
We'll be there.
We'll be there.
Butch Spearden, very good stuff. How about that?
A lot of stuff to digest there.
My ears, and we could talk about it on the other side, but there was one event my ears kind of perked when he said it, so we can talk about it on the other side.
A lot of things we need to get into with that answer right there.
We will react to that next, and also a number that's going to be very telling about tomorrow's Game 5. Stay there. It's Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back into Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Nick Braden, D. Mace, and the Constable Chase McCabe live from Kitchen Notes this morning, coming off of our interview with Butch Spearden. And you got to believe, big things might be a-coming to Nashville. That was the sense I got.
Yeah, and me too. But there was one event that perked my ears, and I thought, wow, that'd be cool. It has nothing to do with sports, even though the sports thing will be the biggest thing around if they can indeed bring it here.
I had not thought about this either.
Yeah, whether it be the World Cup or these other events. But we have CMA here, and we know how big CMA that whole week is. If they were to bring the Grammys here, because you're talking about different genres of music. You're not just talking country or, you know, blues or just rap or whatnot. You're talking all genres of music, and the people that would be coming in and out of this place that you will see, you know, walking down Broadway, walking into Bridgestone. I mean, that would be huge. Not on the tier of a sporting event,
right?
But I think
it's different audience.
Yeah, different audience. But
just
I think if you're talking one day, but it probably end up being a two day thing, a weekend. But you're talking 2 days. I mean, I would take that over to CMA any day because you're getting all music.
Me too. And I would love to see Nashville sort of buck the trend of this. And we talked about it yesterday, right? Like the show Nashville kind of put us back into this identity of like, well, they're just a bunch of country music people in Nashville. And like, we're just not like that. We have an extremely healthy rock and roll scene. We've got just we're just more than country music. So I think the Grammys coming would be really, really cool. From a diversity of music and genres and all that stuff standpoint, I think that'd be great. Knowing them, it wouldn't just be like a one night event in the building. They'd have there'd be stages set up outside. There'd be festivals. It would turn into like a CMA fest. So I think that would be. I'd never thought about that. I think that'd be pretty cool to have here. And it sounds like it's on his bucket list. And he's the guy that gets all this done. Couple of other points. Number one, they are expecting. They are expecting 100,000 plus people per day to be down here. And I think his main message there was not only is it free, it's a world-class event, but be patient. I think that's an important message for a lot of people, be patient. But the real stuff there is the next thing on his list is World Cup. and that the stuff that happens around the stadium is just as important as the stuff that happens in the stadium. And we know Nashville's equipped to handle the stuff around the stadium. Mm-hmm. We know that we as a city can deliver that in spades to somebody, a partner like the World Cup. But they will demand things. And the stadium in its current form is not capable of hosting a World Cup game, which is 2026. So we're a long ways off. He followed that up with a statement that I think is probably the most important thing he said in that interview, which is that if they do not have a plan in place to decide what the future of Nissan Stadium is, whatever that may be, mm-hmm. it needs to be happening in the next 12 to 24 months. So in the next 2 years or less, there needs to be a plan which involves city dollars and city funding, mostly the Titans, as he pointed out. What do they want to be? Do we want to be an outdoor stadium? Do we want to go after Super Bowls? Do we want to go after Final Fours? Like, we are at the point now where we have to start making these decisions. And some of that's going to hang on taxpayer dollars. Mm-hmm. And we've talked to Mayor Briley about this before, and he said it's hard to talk to people about a billionaire asking for money, right? Yeah. Like, it's always going to be hard to ask taxpayers to foot the bill. But you also have to see what the investment Bridgestone Arena did for downtown. What happened to this city when once Bridgestone Arena was built, the investment that we did as a city into that and how it's grown and amplified downtown and turned it into what it is today. So this is happening now. They're having conversations now about what Nissan, and I think that's really a positive sign, because I don't think you can wait 4 years or 5 years to get this stuff done. If you want to make the decision on the future of Nashville from a sports standpoint, they've got to do it in the next year or in some change. It
but
needs
when
to
you
happen
talk about
soon.
Nissan, like they can't do this. Well, we're gonna I'm gonna steal a phrase from Braden: nibble around the edges. Like
this is where I don't want to nibble around the edges.
Give me a real new big sexy stadium. I don't want little, you know, upgrades with the menus and the concessions, and you know, we're gonna tweak some of this. Like, let's just get it up to 2020 and let's make this. I'm not saying it's got to be Atlanta. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying it's got to be Dallas. But it's got to be modern.
But I don't think you need to spend. I mean, Dallas is called. I mean, Atlanta and Dallas combined probably was what, four?
Yeah,
maybe six, 7 billion.
Those are monstrosities.
No. It's about $2 billion for Mercedes Benz. But I want to say Arthur Blank paid for.
But
most
I'm saying in total, not what the city paid, but I'm saying in total, it probably between the two cities, probably $4 billion.
Yeah, we would are because of our like the projections are less than $2 billion for us.
Yeah, I think if you.
That's still a ton of money.
I think it should still be, but then if you do it this way, it would automatically kind of a few of those events, meaning the Final Four, you couldn't have a Final Four if indeed you build a stadium the way I think it should be built. And hell, are they listening to me? Probably not. But I think it should remain an open air stadium. I think it still should be. The you know, not the ability to close it, no.
Well, why not? Why not have a retractable roof? You get the best of both worlds.
No, because one, it's going to cost a lot more money, and I think you can do – I think that's the – kind of like Cleveland, when they redid their stadium, they could have did a dome, and they would have been – people would have praised it because it's so damn cold there. But
no, they like being depressed.
But they have an advantage with the cold, though.
Exactly.
That plays into
their
favor.
But that's what I'm saying, like here.
But this is not the – So, like, I agree with you. I like open-air stadiums, and I like natural grass stadiums. I'm old school that way, just as a fan of football, let's say. Soccer in particular. Uh-huh. They could nibble around the edges on this stadium and get it up to World Cup standards.
Now, I want them to demolish it and just build an open-air
so,
stadium.
So the tiers we're talking about here of action, right? So if I'm the Titans ownership group, along with the city council and city mayor's office, along with people like Butch, that all have to come together at the table and make these decisions, right? Mm-hmm. They have a lot of options. The lowest tier option is nibble around the edges, which would get it up to par probably with World Cup standards, which could earn us a World Cup match in 2026, but probably doesn't give us anything else after that, right? It's a minor upgrade that just gets us to the World Cup level and gets us a World Cup match, mm-hmm. but doesn't really do a whole lot as far as other events. Then we could go open air, like Butch said. Do we want to have one of the coolest open air stadiums out there? It remains to be seen whether or not that would get us a Super Bowl.
I think it would.
I think you're right. There's a chance that it might, because New York got one, mm-hmm. but that's because it's New York. Nashville has a special draw as a destination city that even in an open-air stadium that we still could, in theory, maybe get a Super Bowl, probably a college football playoff game, potentially, or a national title game, if it is, in fact, a big enough building and fancy and brand new and open-air. Mm-hmm. The one thing you are eliminating from that without the retractable roof is the Final Four.
Absolutely.
You cannot have a Final Four in this city without a retractable roof football stadium. And so I'm okay with that. If that's our decision as a city, we don't want it to be retractable roof. We don't want it to be a dome. But we're going to make it the baddest open-air stadium in the world. And, oh, by the way, we're south of the Mason-Dixon line. We're at 60 degrees in December. I think there's a lot of draw there for a Super Bowl or a college football playoff
game. If they
game.
Said this,
but it would have
we
to be
can,
awesome.
We can, it's either or. We either make the soccer stadium, which will probably hold, what, 30,000, somewhere around there, 25 to 30,000?
It'll be like 28,000-ish.
Okay, say they say, well, we add another 3,000 seats, get it right at 30, 31, make it a close, it has the ability to open and close. We can give you that because it'll cost less. Or we build this monstrosity right off the river, which I think it still would be great, and give you a dome, the ability to have a dome over there. I think I would take the dome.
The Final Four is still not coming, though.
I think if you do it the right way with a 30,000-plus seat stadium,
They want 60 and 70.
But 60 and 70 ain't going to –
I'm just telling you, the Final Four will not come for less than 50,000.
More than likely right. But if I'm people in Nashville, what do I want to pay for? Well, I pay for that stadium over there that has the ability to retract, meaning the soccer stadium, before I pay for this Nissan stadium.
Yeah, and I would do neither. I wouldn't. I like your original plan, which is don't put a roof. Like I think putting a roof on the soccer stadium is just out of the. I don't think that's even an option. Plus, that's mostly privately paid for. That's the beauty of that deal is that the city issued bonds and the bonds are paid back by ownership. So that's the beauty of that stadium is that they're on the hook for most of the cost of that. Whatever happens with the Titan Stadium, whether it's $2 billion or $1 billion or $500 million, whether it's a renovation or a fix, you can guarantee that the Titans are going to look at Nashville and say, how bad do you want us to stay? And ask for something from us as taxpayers. You just got to be ready for that and know that it's an investment in the city in the future, not just a sticker shock moment. It is what it is. It sucks, but what do we want to be in the future?
You saw this coming the minute you decided, the minute you said yay. And people, if you haven't read the story in the Tennessean about the whole Tennessee Titans moving here, you need to read it. It's a really good read. It'll take you maybe about 20, 25 minutes somewhere around there to read it, but it's a really good read on Tennessean's website if you didn't get the paper the other day, and it kind of chronicles everything with Bud and everyone else. But
just read it.
But I understand the whole
– It's very complicated.
When you decided that a football team – was to come here, then you knew eventually you were going to have to pay for another
stadium.
It's
like a marriage.
Yeah,
you got
to
be committed.
Eventually, you're committed to it. So if they need a new stadium, you know you're going to have to pay for it. Now, how much are you going to pay for it? It's a different story.
Otherwise, Amy Adams Strunk's on the phone with St. Louis. Hey, St. Louis, how you doing?
Absolutely. And just think.
And she may not even be serious about it, but she's going to do that.
Just a little tidbit for y'all. It's sort of a spoiler alert, but I'm going to tell you this. They were going to move. They were going to move this team, the Tennessee Titans, to Baltimore. Baltimore had everything in place. Baltimore was giving, tax breaks. They were giving money.
Breaking news here.
Everything else. And Underwood was on board for this team to go to Baltimore, for the Tennessee Titans now to be in Baltimore.
Before they became the Titans?
Before they became the
Tennessee
Titans.
Oilers.
And Bud and Bredesen, sat down. A smoky joint and hashed it out, and they said they would, anything else, they would try to work out a deal with Nashville.
Some place on Printer's Alley,
exactly.
down underneath nude karaoke, smoking giant cigars.
Coming up next, we'll continue on with the Titans conversation. Teron Davenport, our Titans reporter for ESPN and ESPN.com, will join us. We'll get to the draft. We'll get to the schedule. A lot to break down with TD. Hour 3 next here on Morning Drive.